This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are still in grace. Amen. Jesus said it this way, that he said he could do nothing, nothing in himself. This is powerful. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus that walks on water. This is Jesus that opens the blind eyes. This is Jesus that multiplies the loaves and the fish. And he says, I can't do nothing without the Father. He cannot do, this is Jesus. So if he can't do anything without the Father, what about us? Man, we're in a world of hurts, and this is Jesus. And Jesus was is the perfect one. Not was, but he is the perfect one. So he is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. So we are in a series of grace. And walking in the grace of God, it's like walking in the Spirit of God. Have you ever heard of, hey, walk in the Spirit? The Bible talks about, you know, talks about walking in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit of God, you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh, right? So if you're walking under God's full throttle grace, you're walking in the Spirit. And when you're walking in the Spirit, there's no judgment. There's no judgment. There's no judgment when you're in the Spirit. In other words, when you're walking in the love of God, the love of God protects you like a shield. So to walk in the Spirit is walking in the love of God. That's loving God and loving people. Amen. And so we're going somewhere in this series. And I believe that we're going back to where the present church started. And that's the church in the book of Acts. That we're going back to where the church walked in dunamis power. See, you got to have vision in your life. You got to have a goal that you're focused on and that you're moving towards. And if you don't have any vision in your life, then you really have a dead life. You got to have vision. Look at your neighbor and say, get a dream. So you must have vision in your life. You must be vision-minded, going somewhere. Somebody say, I'm going somewhere. See, you're going somewhere, amen? And so this is where we're going, okay? It says in Acts 4:33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So we're going somewhere. We're going towards a place of great power and great grace. So we're in the end days. And I'm going to say this, you know, some preachers preach that miracles has passed away with the apostles, but I don't believe that. I believe that we still need miracles today.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because it's getting bad out here.
Amen.
It's getting bad out here, amen? But that's why we need more grace. Somebody say more grace.
More grace.
I got to have more of God in my life. So the grace is likened to favor. And favor and grace, the way that we've been looking at ways of receiving it, ways of retrieving it, ways of getting under the spout where the glory comes out. And so today I want to talk to you about, you know, receiving grace through prayer. Receiving grace. A lot of people don't realize that you can pray for grace. You can ask God for grace. Amen. So I want God's favor in my life. I want God's favor, and prayer is actually, it's not just requesting things from God, but it's seeking God out.
Amen.
In other words, are you seeking God out? Are you a God chaser? Do I have any God chasers in the house? I want to know, are there any God chasers out here? I believe you are some God chasers. I'm chasing God. Now, they say there's ambulance chasers. Have you ever heard of ambulance chasers? Those are the people that, you know, there was one guy that was in the parking lot of Sam's. And my mom was backing up, and he made it look like that my mom hit him. And he laid on the ground. And he was laying on the ground. And he was moaning and groaning. And somebody said, I saw the whole thing. You didn't hit him. There was There was a grace witness. Thank God. Thank God for a grace. Well, I seen the whole thing. You didn't even hit him. He made it look like that he was hit. And my mom looked at him and said, in Jesus' name, get up. And he was laying there playing your possum. You know what possum is? Playing dead. They say if you come in, you know, with a crocodile or something and they grab you and start pulling you under, they like to spit. You have to act like you're dead and they might let you go. So this man was acting like he was really hurt. And my mom kept saying, in Jesus' name. And you know what? His eyes opened and he got up and he said, that's a powerful name. That's a powerful name. And you know what? God worked it all out. This man, he ended up going away in an ambulance, but mom had a witness. She had insurance. And glory to God. What am I saying? There's power in the name of Jesus. There's the devil out here, and he's going to try to set you up. Do you know the devil wants to set you up for a downfall? Right? So that day, the devil was trying to set my mom up for a downfall. But you know what? My mom won the victory that day when she spoke the name of Jesus. Glory to God. That's powerful. She won the victory. She had the grace of the witness that came and said, I saw everything and you didn't do anything wrong. That's the grace of God. Can you recognize the grace of God in your life when God does something for you? Can you recognize it's God moving in your life? Or do you think you just got lucky? You know, Christians don't get lucky. Luck has nothing to do with if we escape any kind of tragedy in our life. Luck has nothing to do with it. It's all the grace of God and His. Do you know you have angels? You have angels guarding you and watching over you. You need to think about that. You have a guardian angel that watches over you and protects you. Amen. So I want to talk to you about grace in prayer, and I like what Jesus said. He said, give me this day my weekly bread, my monthly bread. Give me this day my daily bread. That's right. He didn't say weekly bread or monthly bread. Somebody would say, give me my bread on Sunday morning. That's all I need is a fresh word from God on Sunday morning that can sustain me for the rest of the week. It might sustain you for a couple hours. Amen. Until the devil knocks you upside the head with something. Amen. And then you forget the message. Amen. Right? And, because why? Why? Because immediately the devil comes. What does he come to do? That's right. He comes to steal the word, kill, and destroy your life. So Jesus said, give me this day my daily bread. So what I'm saying to you today, some preachers would preach, well, it's your sustenance for the day that you need to start praying for sustenance. I don't believe that. I believe if you fear God, you'll never go hungry. You don't need to pray for bread. God will bring the bread to you. Amen. You know, I can't say that I've ever had a deficit in my life, that I've ever had a real need in my life. But God has always blessed me, need as in physical or needs that are physical needs like cars and clothing and food. All that's been provided because God supplies all your need according to His riches and glory. But there might be some wants that you need to pray for. And it's okay to pray for wants. Amen? Because God does provide your needs. Amen? And so I love this. And so God does provide us natural food. But I believe that this is meaning, giving me this day my daily bread, a fresh word from God. You know, Jesus said it this way, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it's not your sustenance that you need to receive every day. It's a substance of God's word. You need a rhema word. You need a now word. You need God speaking into your life every day. Jesus, amen. See, we don't serve a dead religion. We serve a living, risen Savior. Amen. Jesus is alive, and He's in communication with His body. Yes, Do you believe that today? So we need to get better acquainted with God. We need to be pressing in to get better acquainted. And the more you seek God and the more acquainted you become with God, the more favor and grace you're going to flow in. The further you're away from God, the further you're away from the Lord, the less favor and grace is flowing your way.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. There is a measure of favor and grace, but there's greater a measure of favor and grace when you're close to God. Look at your neighbor and say, get close to God. Amen. And so what is the enemy trying to do in these last days? He's trying to get either us, some of us upset, offended, or too satisfied with what we have in this life that we're not pressing in for more. And I'm going to say this, you need to start pressing in for more. I like what this says here. It says in 2 Peter, and Peter had a handle on this, it says, may grace and peace. Does anybody need more peace in your life? I don't know about you, but the devil is always trying to wreck my peace. And so the devil's trying to get us out of peace. He's trying to get us fearful. He's trying to get us doubting. The enemy's trying to get us focused on the non-essentials of life. And you need to focus on the essentials, which is the Word of God. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied. Can somebody say multiplied? I love this. I love that. Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied. I have some of these kids preaching. Amen. To you. And notice this. In the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You are called by glory and virtue. Another word for virtue is power. You are called by glory and power. It was God's power that brought you to church today.
Amen.
You might say, well, it was my idea and I got myself up. No, God got you up today.
Amen.
Amen. It was God that moved on your heart to come to church today. Do you believe that today? It was his glory and his virtue or his power which has been given to us. And that gives us exceeding great and precious promises that through these that you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we see here grace and peace is granted to us through the knowledge of God. So getting more of God, getting more knowledge and understanding of God, more grace and peace is added to you. The more you know God, the more grace and peace you're going to walk in. The less you know God, the less grace and peace you're going to walk in. Would you agree with me? And number two, when you get the knowledge of God, God reveals his promises to us. And his promises revealed to us accesses us to them. I'm going to say again, God's promises revealed to us, we can access those promises given to us. Do you believe that today? The Bible says that God will give us houses we did not build. Glory to God. Are you standing on that scripture? Are you believing God for a house? Stand on that. That's a promise that we can activate in our lives. Amen? And so the knowledge of God reveals God's promises, and God's promises gives us the ability to access them. And then number three, understanding what God has done for us brings us into an understanding of the divine nature that we can access. In other words, you have a divine nature living on the inside of you. There's a song that says, something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And you got something on the inside, working on the outside, changing outward circumstances in your life. You got to believe that. See, sometimes when I'm dealing with a problem, sometimes when I'm dealing with something that seems like I can't get over, the mountain seems too big, I got to confess, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I got to confess, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I unlock the promises by speaking the Word of God. And the Word of God will access the very power of God to work in your life. You believe that today? So let's talk about seeking God this morning. Let's talk about that this morning. I think about seeking God, I think about Bible characters that sought God. One of the first Bible characters I want to focus on is Enoch. And let's look at Genesis 5, 21 and 24. It says, Enoch lived 65 years. I love that because I was born in 1965. So, you know, that makes me feel good. 65 must be a good number. Amen. I will say that. 65 is a good number. The 65, the Mustang is a good car. But anyway, we'll continue. Enoch lived 65 years old and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 306, there's that word 65 again, 65 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, just reading this and just staying focused just in Genesis, you would think, well, God took him, God killed him, and took his spirit to heaven. Because a lot of times when people die, people always say, well, God took them. You know, that's what they normally say, God took them. And so just reading this, but there's more to the story. Somebody say there's more to the story. And there's more to the story in Genesis because it's more than just God killing Enoch because he didn't kill him. And we're going to find this out in Hebrews. Hebrews, amen? In Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, it's the hall of faith. And it says here, by faith, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away that he did not see death and was not found because God has taken him. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So we see here it says Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. So what is that saying? Well, that's saying to me that Enoch was the first person to be raptured in the Bible. Think about that. In other words, Enoch walked with God. Think about this. For over 300 years, he walked and communicated with God. And he communicated with God and must have got up in the morning and said, God, I love you. I love your creation. I love these trees. Thank you for all that you do for me. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. And he just had this wonderful relationship with God where God said, I have to have you in heaven. In other words, you love me so much, I'm going to love you even more, and you're not even going to taste death. Think about that. Can you love God to a degree where God loves you so much that you don't even see death? I think so, because Jesus is coming back for a church that loves him. I'm going to say that again. Jesus is coming back for a church that loves Jesus. Amen. So we see that Enoch was a person that pleased God. He was a person that pleased God. So we see here, there's some keys that Enoch walked in that we could walk in to see the grace and the mercy of God on our lives. It was on Enoch and it can be on us as well. I believe that Enoch walked with God and said for 300 years that he walked with God daily, that every day he was spending time with God. My question to you, are you spending time with God every day? Are you making some time for God? Enoch pleased God by receiving understanding of who God was. See, God must have revealed to Enoch that there was a heaven for people to go to. And God must have revealed to Enoch that there was a better place than earth. And Enoch probably got to talking to God and said, I want to go there. I want to be where you're at. I want to be close to your throne room. And then one day God said, you want to come? You can come today. Think about that. And I'm saying to you today that Jesus is coming back. And really, our job is to get ready for the return of Jesus. Our job is to stay close to Jesus. And so Enoch pleased God by spending time with God and understanding God's ways. Amen. Number three, Enoch had faith in God. He totally trusts God's plan for his life. He totally trusts God for his life. And if you're going to walk with God, you got to trust God. You got to believe that he has the best plan for your life. A lot of times we don't think that. A lot of times we think our own plans for our own lives are better than what God's plans are. But I'm going to say to you this morning, smarten up. You need to smarten up because God's plans are better than your plans. Amen. So Enoch walked with God. This means that walking with God denotes a daily life of prayer and devotion to God. A daily life of prayer and devotion. I like what it says in Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So we should always be praying. We should always be seeking God. Amen. And I like what it says in Thessalonians. I believe this is what Enoch did. And it's described in the book of Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, 16 and 18. It says here, Paul got this revelation. He said, in prayer, we should rejoice always. And then he says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if you want a template for your prayer life, in your prayer life, be rejoicing. Don't be complaining. Be rejoicing. In your prayer life, continue to praise God no matter what's going on. Continue to pray and believe God for things that you haven't seen yet, that God's going to bring it to pass. Continue to give thanks to the Almighty God for the things that he has done and the things that he's going to do. Continue to give thanks. The Bible says in Romans, the reason why people went away from God, you know the reason why worldly people are going away from God and some backslidden Christians are walking away from God? They stop thanking God. You stop thanking God, you're going to get angry with God. You're going to be focused on what you're not getting, but don't focus on what you're not getting. Focus on what God has already given you. Amen. Number two, walking with God reveals the fact that you are walking in line with God's word. Ready for this? In obedience to it. Walking with God reveals the fact that you're walking in line with God's word and you're walking in obedience to it. See, you might know a lot of word. So does the devil. But the devil's not obeying the word. The devil probably knows more word than most Christians. But he knows how to twist the word. You might know a lot of word, but are you obeying the word? Just because you got a lot of word and knowledge of God doesn't mean you're actually doing the word. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? A lot of people have a lot of scriptures memorized and they know where the books of the Bible is found in the Bible, but are you a doer of the word? James says it this way, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. I'm talking about walking in grace and favor today. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, notice that word says continue in it, because if there's the possibility, if you can, he's exhorting us to continue in it, that means that you may not continue in it. That means there's a possibility that you can stop walking by the word of God, walking in the word of God, obeying his word. And he says, continue in it and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one is blessed in what he does. So it's not just the hearers only that's blessed. It's the doers. Amen. I'm going somewhere this morning. It's not just you hearing. You can come to church every week and hear the word. But if you're not applying the word, what good will it do you? If you're not applying the word to your circumstances, like the Bible says, there is no temptation that is common to man. Amen. But God is faithful. With every temptation, he'll make a way of an escape. That tells me that we can be tempted, but we don't have to enter into the temptation. Amen. That tells me that God gives us the power to walk away, the power to say no. Amen. Don't tell me you can't help doing the wrong things because God gives you the power to do the right things. See, on judgment day, there's not going to be any excuses. Well, God, you know, my wife wasn't treating me right. That's why I went that way. Or the pastor didn't preach, tell me how nice I was, and that's why I stopped going to church. There's going to be many excuses, you know, that's going to be when you're standing in front of the judge, but he's not going to accept any excuses.
Amen.
In other words, all God sees all, and everything is laid bare, and God sees you for who you are.
Amen.
You may fool some of the people some of the time, but you won't fool God none of the time.
Amen. Amen.
Am I getting somewhere? I'm getting somewhere this morning. Because don't play a game with God. And don't say, well, God, I can't obey your word because of this. No, there's no temptation that is common. All temptations are common. They're not supernatural temptations. Everybody's tempted in the same ways, but you got the power. Say, I got the power to walk away from temptations. No excuses in God. An excuse is it's a skin of a lie wrapped around a reason. That's what excuse is. A skin of a lie wrapped in around a reason. And number three, walking with God reveals that you have faith in God, and the faith in God is His ability to bless you. So I'm going to get out of my seat this morning because you know what? I'm not serving God for nothing. I'm serving God for something. I'm going to say that again. I'm not serving God for nothing. Somebody say, I don't need anything for God. I'm just serving God for nothing. You're lying. You want heaven, don't you?
Amen.
You want that crown of life, don't you?
Amen.
You want a mansion, don't you?
Yes.
Don't say, I'm not serving God for nothing. No, you're serving God for something.
Amen.
We all are serving God for something. Amen. And it says here, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder.
Yes.
So if you're seeking God, then He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Amen.
So I'm looking for some rewards.
Yes.
On judgment day, I'm looking for some rewards.
Amen.
I hope you are too.
Amen.
I hope you're believing God for some rewards.
Yeah.
Because some of us are living our life kind of half in and half out. You're kind of in the world. You're kind of in God. You're kind of lukewarm, backslidden, milquetoast Christian. And you're not going to get too much on the day of judgment. Amen. I don't want to live that life of milquetoast, you know, half backslidden, half in the world, half in sin and half in the sun. You know, that's not the life I want to live. I want to be full throttled 100% for God. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Don't live a life like that. I used to live a life like that, and I could barely look in the mirror. Are you hearing what I say? I don't want to live a life like that. Because you live a life like that, you won't even be able to look yourself in the mirror. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And I like this. It says here in Revelation 22:12. Listen, this is powerful. And behold, I am coming quickly. This is the Lord Jesus. And He said this 2,000 years ago. And if He's coming quickly 2,000 years ago, how much more quickly is He coming today? So He says, behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Now that's a positive and a negative.
Okay.
I'm going to say it again. That's a positive and a negative. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, according to the works, if you got works of the Spirit, if your works are motivated by love and faith, then there's blessings behind that. But if your works are evil, if they're motivated by pride and fear, then there's no blessing in that. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So I want to, it's according to every man's work. It says here, blessed is the man, look at James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him.
Amen.
So I love that. So he's talking about, there's going to be, look at your neighbor and say, there's going to be a test. There's always going to be a test to see if we're going to really serve God. There's going to be a test. And God's going to say, hey, you know, there's going to be a time where you're going to have to say, I'm either going God's way or I'm going the devil's way. I'm going the spirit way or I'm going the flesh way. There's going to be a test. And you're going to have to determine where you're going to move. To me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I like this because Paul says, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So this faith walk, to walk in the grace of God, you got to press in to the things of God. It's not a laxy-daisy, laid-back, milquetoast walk with God. No, it's a pressing in to the things of God. The greatest display of God's favor towards us is really when we're in a need. I'm going to say it again. The greatest display of God's favor towards us is when we're in need. Amen. Many examples in the Bible reveals people that have needs and God came in and rescued them. We live in America. We live in the wealthiest nation or one of the wealthiest nations in the world. Do you agree with that? We are so blessed in this nation. And I'm telling you, we're so blessed. Even the migrants are blessed. They get all these benefits from the government. Illegals. That's why they're trying to bust through our walls. And then they're pulling the finances from good people that are Americans. And we're suffering. So that's why people are trying to get into this. Man, I approve this message. And there's people trying to get in to this nation, you know, flooding this nation. Why? For more votes. For political reasons. And I'm telling you, we need to be looking out for one another. Yes, I'm okay with helping those that the Bible teaches to help those that are foreigners, but they can come in proper channels. My wife's parents were foreigners. They were refugees. They came in through the legal processes. And they're wealthy people today. I think about how great this nation that we live in. My wife's parents didn't make enough money to send her to college. But guess what? She didn't pay a dime for college. She made it through all grants. Got a master's degree with all these grants. Is that right, Ian? Mostly. The bachelor's degree. Okay. The bachelor's degree. But the master's degree, they had it. Had to pay a little bit on that. Student loan, okay. But she made it through bachelor's degree through grants. I mean, this is amazing. And think about this. We got so much in this nation. We got food pantries all over. You know, churches give food out all the time. And we got the government helping people and all that. But I'm going to say this. We can get in a place where we don't need God anymore. Why? We got our government check. We got our house. We got our bank account. We got our health. Who needs God? Right? You need God. You need God. And sometimes we can get a place where we think, oh, I don't need God. I don't need to go to church today. I got money in the bank. I'm healthy. My family's doing okay. No, you need God. Because what you have today could be gone tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you. What you have today could be gone today. In a New York minute, everything can change. That's a song. In a New York minute, everything can change. Don't think what you got today, you're going to have tomorrow. Don't take for granted what God has blessed you with, thinking that I don't need to do anything for God. I got mine. Well, you might have yours now, but you may not have it later. You know, the Israelites found that out. Remember, the Israelites got everything, got the milk and the honey, and the land flowing with milk and honey. And guess what? They started serving other gods. And guess what? Then the enemies of God came in, and then the enemies came in and took them out of their land, and then they started living in captivity to the Babylonians. Is that right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in captivity to anything but God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so I love that. So the key is that we do have things, but don't put our faith and trust in the systems of our government. Put the faith and trust in God. Amen? And God will bless us. Glory to God. And we don't want to be government sufficient. We don't want to be job sufficient. We don't want to be bank account sufficient. We want to be God sufficient. Can somebody say, in God we trust?
In God we trust.
So we don't want to get smug in the status of our life, thinking that we don't need to do anything for God. And we need to stop making God the sugar daddy in our life, and we might need to start serving Him instead of trying to get Him to serve us. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? We might need to put ourselves in a position where we're serving God. Woo, glory to God. Instead of God, you're serving me. Amen? Glory to God. So I love this because I want to talk to you today. And I'm trying to, man, let me finish this up. But I want to talk to you today about a story of rags to riches. Everybody loves the stories of people coming from nothing. How many people love the Rocky movies? How many people love Rocky? You know, he was just a guy that broke people's legs in the very beginning. He worked as like a bouncer, right? And then he started boxing and beating up meat. Remember that? He would punch meat, and he had his shot with the champion. Amen. And he became somebody. He pulled himself. We love these stories, and I want to talk to you today about Esther, Queen Esther. And I want to talk to you about Queen Esther because she had the grace and favor of God in her life. Now, Queen Esther, her mother and father passed away. Her uncle Mordecai, or it might have been her cousin Mordecai, you might have to correct me in this, but he I believe, took care of her. And so she didn't have a mother and father. And God looks after the orphans. I want to say that. God has a special grace on people that never had a father or a mother. They tend to have a lot of grace on their life. God will be your father. God will be your mother. Amen? And so we got King Xerxes. Amen? He had a beautiful wife. And he was having a party where he had all his dignitaries there. And his wife was gorgeous. She was a knockout. She was a Bo Derek 10. And so she was gorgeous. And he wanted to show his wife off. And he called his wife to come so she could present herself to all the dignitaries. He was proud of his wife. She was what you call a trophy wife. And so he called her, and she wouldn't come. Think about this. When the king calls you, you better come. Amen. And she wouldn't come. She got too caught up like Lucifer in her beauty. She thought her beauty could keep her from being honorable to the king. And I'm going to say this. Never dishonor the king. Don't dishonor your king. Don't dishonor Jesus. Don't dishonor your spouses. Don't dishonor the people of God. And she dishonored him in front of his colleagues, in front of the people that were around him. And they started talking to him and said, listen, if the word gets out, all our wives are going to treat us the same way. That's what they said. Our wives are going to treat us with disrespect and dishonor. You know, they say recognition. Babies cry for it and men die for it. Recognition. Honor. We want honor. Men want honor. Glory to God. We want to be honored. Women want to be loved.
That's right. Amen.
If a man loves a woman the way she wants to be loved, she will honor the man in the way he wants to be honored. And so he was dishonored, and guess what he did? He did a king's divorce, and he kicked her out of the kingdom. She lost her place. See, when we dishonor God or the things of God, what we have, we could lose. I'm going to say it again. When we dishonor God or the things of God, we can lose what God has given us. My question to you today, are you truly honoring God? Do you serve God or does God serve you? We need to be honoring God in all that we do. One of the key ways of honoring God is with our wealth. Some of you say, well, my money's my money. I beg to differ. Because God says the tithe belongs to Him. And He says the tithe is holy. And if you're taking that tithe, you're not giving that tithe to God, and you're taking it for yourself, you're stealing from God. It belongs to God. I won't touch what's holy. The Bible says, don't touch what is holy. And if you're not honoring God with your tithe, are you truly honoring God? You say, well, I come to church. Yeah, but you hear the word, but are you a doer of it? Because the doer of the word is blessed, not just the hearer only. Amen. And so he says here, honor God. Amen. I love this because in Proverbs, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we see here, honoring God with our resources can assure us to keep our positions that we have now and can put us in a higher position of promotion in the future. Can I say that again? When you honor God with your finances, not only are you securing what you have now, but you are placing yourself in a position where you can move further into receiving more. Your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, God wants you in a position where you're not staying the same, but you're going higher in God. Somebody say more. Somebody say. Much, much more in 24. So God wants you to have much, much more in 24. Some of you are saying, I don't need to give anything to God. What's wrong with you? You need to give your life to God. You need to give. You don't know what your source is. Not yourself. It's God. You know, God can stop your heart right now in the New York second. You realize that, oh, you might need God. Amen. God is the one that sustains us. And we got to get a revelation of that. Don't think you're sustaining yourself. Amen. So Queen Esther had favor with God. And I love this. And she grew up. It says here. So what the king did was they came up with an idea to have a contest, a beauty queen contest. And so they were searching out the most beautiful ladies in the land. And guess who was one of them? Esther. Esther was graced with beauty, and she was also graced with wisdom. That's not common. Normally you have beauty, normally you have wisdom, but you don't normally have both. And she had beauty and wisdom. She had humility. Humility brings wisdom into your life. So it says here, so when in Esther 2, 8 and 9, it says, when the king's command decree were heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan, the citadel, under the custody of Haggai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace into the care of the Haggai, the custodian of the women. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor, so he readily gave beauty preparation to her, besides her allowance. Then 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house of the women. Now notice this, that it says here that Esther pleased the king's servant that was taking care of the ladies. How did she please him? She pleased him by honoring him. We're going to find out she honored this man that was taken. She didn't take it lightly that she was taken in to be a possible queen for the king. And she pleased him by honoring him. Glory to God. We'll find this out. And it says here in Esther 2, 13 and 15, thus prepared, each young woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the woman's quarters to the king's palace. Now when he turned and came to Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as a daughter to go to the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the woman, would advise. Notice this, that she wasn't going on her own opinion, you know, the pink dress with the blue dots is what I'm going to wear for the king. She asked the king's man what she should do. What should I wear before the king? She had enough common sense to recognize she didn't know it all. And when you understand that you don't know it all, and you got to pray and ask God, give me some wisdom. Give me some understanding. Show me what I need to do. She honored herself, or honored the man of the king's servant, by asking him, "What should I wear?" So this is powerful. So Esther had somebody that was in her corner. She honored this man, and this man gave her grace. Then it says in Esther 2:17, the king loved Esther more than all the other women. She obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set a royal crown upon her head and made her queen, glory to God, instead of his ex. Amen. And so we see here that she had grace and favor in her life. But I'm going to say this, just because you might have some grace, you might have some favor, but the grace and favor that God puts in your life is for a purpose. I'm going to say it again. The grace and favor that God puts in our life is for a purpose, for to work out His plan. Amen. In our lives. Amen. So God doesn't give you something that He doesn't require for you to use for His glory. Can I say that again? God doesn't give you something that He doesn't require, that He requires for you to use for His glory. Whatever He gives you, He expects you to use it for His glory. Do you believe that today? It's not supposed to be used for yourself. Amen. And so we see this, that Esther honored the king. She honored the king's servant. She walked in honor and humility, and she received grace, and she became the queen. And I like what it says in 1 Peter 2:17. It says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Glory to God. And so we need to be walking in honor. When you walk in honor and humility, you will see the grace of God in your life. Now, she had a position of influence. She had a position with the king. And you know, and most of you probably know the story, that Haman, the enemy of the Jews, he hated the Jews because of Mordecai. Mordecai was a Jew that would not bow to Haman. Haman was one of the king's high officials. And Haman said to the king, the Jews are weird people. We need to get rid of them. Let's write a decree to have them destroyed. And the king didn't think anything of it, and took his seal of his ring and set a decree, a document. And once a document is set in the Persian government, you can't retract it. And then he said, on this certain day, all the Jews will be killed. And so now Mordecai hears about it. And the Bible says Mordecai is fasting and praying. He's wearing burlap. He's at the king's doors. It's even the people that heard this news that they were going to be destroyed, they started fasting and praying. There are times when you might need to fast and pray. I'm going to say it again. There are times where you might need to fast and pray, when you need some help, when you need some supernatural help in your life. Amen. And so this is interesting. She found out that she didn't know about this. The queen didn't know about this. And she found out from Mordecai that of this edict that was pronounced by the king, that was written by the king. And she said, listen, if I go to the king, I haven't seen him in 30 days. And if I go to the king without him announced, without me, him requesting me to come, it's off my head. And she said to Mordecai, listen, and a lot of times what we do is when we're faced with a point in our life where we need to move forward in God or back off, there's going to be a time where we might need to sacrifice something. There might be a time where we might need to say, okay, it's either God or the devil. There might be a time where somebody may say, renounce Jesus or die. Well, don't renounce Jesus. Take authority over that spirit and make that guy bow down to Jesus. Amen? But she said, if I go, I might die. And Mordecai says to her, and I'm paraphrasing this morning, he said, listen, if you don't go, the Israelites, God will show another way to save them, but do you think you and your household is going to escape this? In other words, he was saying to Esther, you're done either way. You're in between a rock and a hard spot. You think you're going to escape the judgment of God? In other words, God can always have a replacement. Don't think that you're the only one that can do what God is calling you to do. God has a replacement. He had a replacement for Judas, and he can have a replacement for us. Amen. And so she said, maybe, and then Mordecai said, maybe this is a time, such a time as this, that God has raised you up for a time like this. And I'm going to say this, she was raised up to be in a position of power to promote the present circumstances that God wanted her to walk in, which was to save the people. I'm going to say this, God's raising us up. He's putting grace on our lives, not for ourselves, but for us to save other people. God is raising us up. He's given us good jobs. He's given us healthy bodies. Why? For us to take some of our finances and promote the kingdom of God. It's not just for ourselves. He's raising us up, and he's gracing us to do something amazing in our lives, not just for us, but for others. Amen. And so we got to get a revelation when we honor God and we walk in humility, we'll see the grace of God. And this is what happened. They fasted for 3 days. They sacrificed. And they fasted. She had everybody fast. And then she, after 3 days, she walked into the king's quarters. And that king could have had her killed. And what they said was he had to take his royal diadem and move it towards her like that. And if he did that, that was like the grace of the king is on your life. And she had to put her hand on top of it. And when she did that and bowed down and put her head, she said, I'm going to give you up to half my kingdom. Think about this. She risked her life. She sacrificed. She could have died, but she got even more promotion. The king gave her up to half of his kingdom. She said, I'll give you, in other words, half of mine is yours. Amen. Can all the ladies say amen that are married? Amen. That's what the judge says. Half of his is yours, right? You know, the divorces in Hollywood, you know, they got $50 billion and $25 billion goes to the woman, right? But I made it all, yeah, but half the money goes to the lady, amen? Because she was with you when you were all going through all the thick and the thin. She was with you when you were crazy trying to win, amen? And you finally get up there and then you trade her in for 220s, amen? 40 for 220s. So what am I saying to you today? I'm saying God has a grace. He has a favor on you. And don't forget where you came from. She didn't forget where she came from. And he said, I'm going to give you half the kingdom. And he said, what do you want? She said, I want to have dinner with you and Haman. I want him coming to dinner because God gave her a plan. Gave her a plan to bring Haman in front of him. And then she tells the king, there's a person that's an enemy to me, that wants to kill my people, that's against me. And the king says, somebody's against you. Who is that? That man, Haman. And the king said, that's it. You're against her. I'm against you. See, listen, if you're for God, he will make even your enemies be at peace with you. And if somebody's an enemy against you and they're trying to curse you, God, listen, what God has blessed, no man can curse. And no matter what you're going through, God has your back. And I'm telling you, when he found out it was Haman, and Haman had the gallows set up for Mordecai, her uncle, to be hanging from those gallows. Guess who hung from those gallows? It was Haman that hung from the gallows. Guess who took Haman's high position in the kingdom? Mordecai took his place, his house, and you live in houses you didn't build. He took his place, glory to God. What am I saying? And I'm saying that then he made a decree for the Jews to fight back. And the people that came that were nervous about coming against the Jews, because Mordecai was a high official in the kingdom now, and he was Jewish. And so guess what happened that day? The Jews beat the people that were trying to come against them, and they were more blessed than the people that we're trying to take from them. What I'm saying to you this morning, I'm saying when you honor God, when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, God will lift you up. He will raise you up. He will exalt you in due time. He will bring you into a place that you never can get on your own. I'm telling you, God is raising people up in the last days. He's bringing people that might be paupers now, but I'm telling you, you're going to be wealthy in the future. Though your beginning may be small, your end will be great. Do you believe that today? I believe that today. I believe that we're moving and God is expediting and doubling and increasing us. Why? Because we got to get the harvest in. We got to get people in. God has the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. For us to take our resources, put it into the kingdom of God, and get people saved, delivered, and set free. Glory to God. Every dollar you put in is a potential soul coming into the kingdom. And when you put your resources and your talents into the kingdom, there is great rewards for you. Do you believe that today? And I'm telling you, we need to be seeking God more than ever. We need to be honoring God. We need to be humbling ourselves before God. And as we do that, God is going to raise us up. He's going to put His grace on us. He's going to help us get our family saved, get our neighbors saved, get people delivered and set free. Are you receiving it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your goodness and Your mercies and Your love. I thank You for Your grace. It's not just for us and for ourselves, me, myself, and I. It's for the whole generation that we are walking in. And Father, I'm asking that You continue to grace us, continue to raise us up, so that we can save people's lives. Perhaps you're here today. Perhaps you're listening and watching, and you haven't bowed your knee to Jesus. You are half in and half out. You're halfway in the world, halfway in God, and God's looking for a full commitment. He wants you to be fully on board with Him 100%. And maybe you've never made the commitment to receive Jesus. Today is the day of your salvation. God is knocking on the door of your heart. So I want you to pray this prayer, because I believe God's drawing you this morning. And pray this prayer and mean it in your heart and put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. Say this and mean it and say it out loud. Mean it in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus, You died on the cross for my sins. I believe You were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive You as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.